Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Hello and welcome to a Thursday edition of the Weekly Conversation. I'm your host, the man with the mic, Kyle. What a wonderful conversation we got for you today. Tonight on the conversation, study shows that networks like MSNBC are spending 90% of their time on what? The Russian probe. And people are getting, get over it. Even Stephen Colbert's ratings are starting to go down. I want to watch late night talk shows, which I don't. Because I want to laugh. I don't want to watch a right-bashing, conservative-bashing machine. I want them to make fun of Obama and make fun of Nancy Pelosi, make fun of Harry Reid, and make fun of Trump, and make fun of Sarah Palin, make fun of everybody. Yeah, it doesn't have to be political, but I'm just saying, be funny about anybody. You know, but Obama tax is dead. Where's the Republican plan to fix it? I want to get into some stuff that Ted Cruz said and other things. Also, Philippines are going to pass a bill possibly that's going to require citizens to basically enthusiastically sing the national anthem. Good idea or bad idea? Excuse me. Also, if you're a Big Bang Theory fan, one of the main stars of it, Johnny, his ranch in Central California went up in flames. Fortunately, he was not there. Unfortunately, the $1 million ranch is gone and he plans to rebuild and everything, but our thoughts go out with him. The bottom line is this, folks, everyone should give the president a chance to succeed. Who said that? I'll get into that. A California girl that was 12 escaped after the people who were trying to kidnap her basically said they were going to take her out to the woods and kill her. That much, much more. So welcome to the conversation that I hope you feel a part of, folks. And I really hope you do. And I hope you guys, you know, do something, you know, don't just sit passively, be active. The verse of the day is John 3:20. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for their sins will be exposed. But those who do what's right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. Kind of think about that. It's kind of what I talk about every week on the show. Do something. Matthew West said it. Mm-hmm. Like a lady, she was on vacation. Not really. She was doing some work and for school. And you guessed it. In a third world country. And guess what happened, folks? Say what happened. She saw all these people having problems. And she's like, you know, these orphans are just being pushed around from one person to another. And guess what happened? She decided to do something. And now she runs an orphanage there. She's a citizen of Uganda. So everyone can do something. And speaking of everyone can do something, I wanted to get into this because this just, the parents have to be proud of this. I mean, I know I would be. Dan Reichert and Bianca Monda officially became the first couple to marry at a Taco Bell cantina on the Las Vegas Strip. And you, I mean, that's what me and my producers, my wife, and I mean, that's what we missed. We should have done that, like gone to Taco Bell and gotten married there. I mean, is there some gimmick? I mean, are they getting like Taco Bell for life? Are they getting like their honeymoon paid for or something?
No, $600, everything catered.
$600. It's on the menu. No, it's on, yep. They said wedding's on the menu, $600. Seriously, that's the promo I heard today. Yeah. That's just ridiculous. Well, they actually have a thing in Vegas where you can go up to a vending machine and you want rice thrown at you and hit you in the face with rice and all this stuff, and they send out a wedding certificate and you sign it.
License to Taco Bell, wedding. $600, you get married.
We could have went. I mean, what is it? So, are they going to like up the ante? Is White Castle going to have like a royal wedding? I'm just saying. I mean, oh yeah, you went to Taco Bell. Yeah. We spent $700. We went for the royal package at White Castle. Well, actually, I'm wondering if they're going to have to change their name, because that's kind of, like, offensive to me. You know, what about the Black Castle? I'm just saying, I mean. Oh, jeez. I'm hurt because they don't have a multicultural castle. It's only white, and that's offensive. I seriously am surprised that has not been an issue. Yes, it will. And you heard it on my conversation first. But this study that's come out recently said that. What was it like? 80%+ of MSNBC's time is spent on this Russian probe. I mean, it's ridiculous. But what we're going to do. See, we have a friend whose cousins, brothers, sisters, uncles, father-in-laws, baby sister, cousin knew a man who said that this guy talked to a person who said that Trump is in collusion with Russia. We can't give the names out because, you know, I mean, we got to keep our informants, you know, privacy, you know. Whatever, get over it. No one wants to see a conservative bashing machine, Stephen Colbert. I don't know how people watch him. Just like I don't understand, like, the house show where they film people living in a house. I don't understand that. My wife loves it, and I'm glad she does, and that's great. You know, there's different strokes for different folks. You know, I don't, to me, because I guarantee you, they spend millions and millions of dollars with psychiatrists to get the people that they know are going to argue and fight and complain and piss them off. Because I want to say, okay, if it's supposed to be like a reality show, then it needs to be reality. You need to just select, then you just pick like 6 people at random and go with them.
They started doing that after the second season. They had one of the other cast members pull the knife of the other cast member on TV.
Well, there you go. That's reality. If they're not doing that, then it's scripted. Like I said a while back ago, someone's like, you don't watch Hell's Kitchen? I'm like, I watched one like 10-minute segment of a thing on like the Fox website, like Fox.com, where you can watch like the shows. And a lady was on there, the winner of this is to take over like a Michelin star style restaurant, like very high end prestigious restaurant. She never cooked a day in her life. She was only a corporate buyer. didn't know how to cook, didn't know how to do anything, didn't know how to hold knife, never worked in the kitchen, didn't know anything. And everyone's like, how did you get on this show if you don't know any, if you never cooked? I mean, you have to know how to use a knife. You have to know how to saute. You have to know how to work a grill. Never done anything. She didn't last. And even Gordon Ramsay's like, how in the F did you effing get on the effing show? You know, I want to see a show like that with, like, experts. You know, I want to see, like, because I watched one of those one time, and they had, like, oh, I've run, like, this hotel in Vegas, and I've done this, and they couldn't even do anything. Okay, make mashed potatoes, and they screwed it up. It was just like, so, I don't know, I guess. But, like I've said before, though, if you were to put cameras in a house with no one knowing, and you film that family for a month, you're going to get a different family than if you say, hey, we're going to have a camera crew following you around. You're going to get a whole different family if they know they're being filmed as opposed to if they're not. But then, like they said, the reason why they do all this reality stuff is it's 10 times cheaper. Why pay this movie star $100,000 an episode when you can sit there and pay this family like $80,000 per episode, which is way less than the $100,000 per actor, and the rest goes in your pocket. I don't know. But it's different strokes for different folks. Some people love it, some people don't. Just like, as I relate this to politics, there's very few people out there that are, most people are either a red line Republican or blue line Democrat. They're like, I support Trump 100% no matter what. I hate him no matter what. There's very few people anymore that are like, I voted for Trump. He's not going to do everything I agree with, but he's going to be a lot better than Obama. I don't know many supporters of Obama that could name faults of him. Oh, he's the greatest thing ever. He never had a scandal. You know, Ted Cruz said this, and this is the, no, I think it was Ron Paul that said this. Yeah, it was Ron Paul. Get my guy straight. This is the truth, folks. Healthcare wasn't perfect before Obamacare. It's not like healthcare was bad and all of a sudden Obamacare fixed everything. It was bad before Obamacare. It's bad now. And he says that what we need to do is take the bad things of Obamacare, cut them out, get rid of them, and then move forward to work on a new healthcare plan. I'm like, you've had how many months? This is what proves my point. They've had since when Obamacare was being introduced and being written, they should have been, okay, if you're out there and you're on the field, and okay, they're lining up and they're gonna, okay, if they kick this field goal, we gotta do something. You don't sit there and, okay, no, we're going to wait and see if they make this field goal. No, you don't wait to see if they make the field goal. We're making plans. This is what we're going to do if they miss the field goal. This is what we're going to do if they make the field goal. And you try to stop it. If the Republicans cared about Americans, they would have been working on their own health care plan so that in the event, okay, well, you're introducing Obamacare, here's our plan. This is what makes it better. Care plan. They should have one with all the bells and whistles right in front of them. Bang. But I have to agree. Because Trump kind of tweeted something like this, and it was like, you know, he could come up with the best healthcare plan in the world, and Republicans would be praising it, Democrats would mock it. And like I said on the program about a month ago, I wish Trump would have seriously taken Obamacare, just taken and just repackaged it, you know, called it Trump Care, move the pages or move like sections around so that, you know, that it looks different. But it's the exact same bill and put it in front of the Democrats. And I guarantee you, they would have went ballistic over it and they would have went nuts over it. And he would have said, well, that's basically Trump care. All I did was I took this five page, this section, and I put it here and I moved this section here. I just moved sections around. If I put the sections back in their original place, you will find out it is 110% word for word Obamacare. The thing that you praised, and now you're bashing it and shoved it in their face. Because that would have, then he could have said, well, hey, it just proves my point that there's a double standard here, that no matter what I passed, you guys are going to bash. Here's our plan. We do have a plan right here. We've been working on it for 8 years. But it just proves my point that no matter what we put in front of the Democrats, they're not going to support no matter what it is. Because they're bashing the same healthcare plan that they praised when Obama was passing. I mean, that's how it is. No matter what the Republicans do, Democrats are never going to get behind them. They don't. You got to remember something, folks. The Democrats and Republicans, they're not going to be on the plan. They don't have to worry. They have enough money to where they can, they can pay they can go to the doctor and afford to pay for whatever. Yep. We got to worry about them greedy, evil Republicans. Now it's these rich, greedy, evil Republicans. Well, like Trump said, he goes, don't go crying to me there, Hillary. I'm just using, I didn't pay taxes. Of course I didn't. I'm using all the loopholes that you allow. If you're bitching because I didn't pay taxes, you had the opportunity to stop and close all these loopholes that allow us to pay little to no taxes. Think about that one there, because you've been in this a lot longer than I have. But as we move on, even CNN recently came out. Oh yeah, there's no evidence of Russia. It's just a witch hunt. We don't care. We're not really media. We're just there to bat. You know. I don't know how they have any viewers. I don't know how people still watch. I mean, it's just funny. All I can think of is the Kentucky Fried movie. When they did the newscast on this. I mean, that's... I don't know how people... Because Trump is being mocked for his tweets and all this and about how 71% of the people don't like his tweeting and all this crap and... And it's like, well, when MSNBC went after him, he stood up for himself and went off on them and stood up for himself. And because he did his tweet, now we have to talk about this tweet and all this instead of important issues. Gee, isn't that just, well, what is he supposed to do? Have people insult him and then not stand up for himself? You know, because you'd be praising Obama if I went off on Obama and he tweeted back and, you know, you'd be praising. Oh, we have to. Yeah, but we have to talk about this tweeting of Trump and not about real issues. Well, if you want to talk about real issues, then why doesn't MSNBC talk about real issues instead of just being a conservative right bashing machine that doesn't have any other purpose but to bash Trump no matter what, to put down everything he does, everything he says, period. He can word for word steal a speech from Hillary Clinton and they would bash him. Well, wait a minute. Here's the transcripts of Hillary's speech. Show me between the two speeches. I dare you to find anything different about them. Because you were, and here's a video of you praising Hillary who gave this speech. Trump said it, and we're tired of this one-sided. You're supposed to be the media. You're supposed to be objective. You're not supposed to take a side. That's why you have no viewers. The only viewers you have are the idiotical left-wing people that just swallow whatever you feed them. They don't care. Yep, I'm going out to march today. I don't know what we're marching about, but I'll get there and I'll just start chanting whatever they're telling me to chant, because, you know, that's what I do, because I don't think for myself. That's what's happened in this nation. For the longest time, I was always taught to think for myself. I remember back in high school. Now, you know, if you smoke a joint, it's as equivalent to like 25 million cartons of unfiltered cigarette. It's so dangerous. Really? Where's the proof? Because you can't, there's no medical proof. There's no proof that there's any medical value to it. I guess you've only studied it to prove it's dangerous. You haven't studied it to find out the medical or anything. Somehow you've never really, I'm not a doctor, nor are you, so we haven't really done any. We have to do some massive studies on it. Okay, you can't really study it. So where are you coming up with all this? You're telling me for years and years and years that it's dangerous, but we're not allowed to study it. I've learned to think for myself. Well, no, just ask Irvin Rosenfeld, and I need to try to get a hold of him. I want to see if I can get him on my program. He has over 100% lung capacity, and he smoked how many unfiltered joints from the federal government paid for by my tax dollars? 300 a week, about every, 300 every 25 days, approximately. Oh, man, it's dangerous. Yeah, it's dangerous enough for him to get it for his ailment, but the problem is it's just going to get to a pharmaceutical thing where, okay, pharmaceuticals are going to have their way and there's going to be like five varieties. Okay, well, none of the five work for me. Well, I mean, there's hundreds out there. It's going to be like the three bears. This porridge is too cold. Well, this is too hot. And half of the people might find one of them that works. Three quarters of them might not. That's being issued into the Philippine legislature would basically make it mandatory for Filipino citizens to basically enthusiastically sing the national anthem. I don't agree with that, but you should want to do it. It should be something you should be proud of. I mean, that's what's really gone in this country, because when you came to this country, you were proud to become an American citizen. Now it's like, okay, well, I'm proud to be an American. Now you better know my native language, because I'm not going to speak English, and you better be able to talk to me. Because if you don't know my language, I'm going to get pissed off, and I'm going to tell everyone that I know. Yeah, we got a problem here, because, yeah, he's from El Salvador, and no one here understands his dialect, and he's just really pissed off. Okay. Really? You're in America. Speak English. I understand if you know your native tongue, that's fine. But you go to France, there are going to be people that speak German, Italian, French. The guys that make the crepes out there. The way you get the job is, the more languages you know, you'll get the job, because you can speak to more people. But when you go to France, you should at least know the basics to get around. So you don't have to be like a person with a head up the butt. I mean, there's times where I'm like, I'll say stuff, and like, you know, and maybe their dialect, maybe, oh yeah, like a young kid would get me because I have that. I speak a lot of French that's more the younger generation, you know, because I kind of mix it up. My French teacher, Thomas Kelly, would laugh sometimes because, well, he kind of probably laughed a little bit in his head because, like, some of the things you say are very, like, traditional, the way this is how you would properly say stuff. And then some of it you say is what you've learned is the slang. So you're like, Mr. Johnson, how are you doing today, sir? Wonderful. Where, you know, where, and some of the things, you know, is like, hey, how you doing? What's up? So, you know, and he understands that you're young and you've probably been influenced by people that know the old way and people that know the new way. So it's not bad, but when you're there, you know, as much as you, you know, I hate when I come, when you come here and it's like, okay, let me get this booklet out here, okay? How to fix the TV. Okay, no, that's Swahili. No, that's, I think it's Chinese or I don't know that. Japanese, possibly. That looks like Korean. I don't know. Is this probably Russian? I just want the English instructions. I'm in America. It's hard to find sometimes. And I'm not bashing any culture or anything. I'm just, you know, when you're in America and you buy a TV or you get a box and like, okay, where's the English on it? Okay, I'm at a Walmart. How much more American you get than Walmart? Yeah. That's what a lot of people don't realize. Sam Walton would never have allowed alcohol to be sold in his stores. Oh, I know. When he first handed the company over to a guy, he took it back because he was doing stuff that was against his beliefs. Like this one lady who worked at Walmart, who was there when Sam Walton ran the company, and she goes, Sam Walton would be turning in his grave if he knew how we were being treated. I love what David Webb said as I move on. I love David Webb. He's just great, some of the things he says. But anyone who's looking for what the Democrats stand for won't find it. Or can't find it. It's the truth. At least the Tea Party type people, we know what we want. We're tired of wasteful government spending. We're tired of being overtaxed. We have things that we have core beliefs. Democrats, who knows what they believe? One minute they're wanting this guy fired. The next minute they're, oh no, we want to keep him? What the? I saw Jimmy Kimmel last night and we want to keep James Comey now all of a sudden? I thought we wanted to fire him. I'm confused. They have, I mean, because they changed their agendas all the time. I have some core beliefs that haven't changed. Like Trump, he has some things that he said 30 years ago that he still believes in today. So I want to thank you all so much for tuning in to the program. About 30 minutes, just under 30 minutes left in the program. Thank you all for tuning in. To the program, folks. And I hope you feel a part of the program. I hope I don't take you for granted. You get 2 hours a week, and I hope you take these 2 hours and hope it invigorates you just to say, yeah, I'm not the only one that feels like this. I'm actually found someone else that I can relate to that is not going to like everything Trump does, but he's not going to hate everything he does. I would have loved Obama if he did things that I supported. But when you feel like, okay, you ever see those shows where the guys like doing the, on this like the old school, where they would sit there and they would like be dancing on the stage and the guy would come out from the stage with a cane and take the hook around the cane and drag him by the neck and it felt like the death knell, like, oh my God, oh Oh my gosh, I'm over. You know, that's how I felt when Obama was on the golf course and he had to stop playing to talk about an American that was beheaded. Yeah, like he was inconvenienced. That was like the biggest insult to me. That wasn't even a policy. It's not like I could say, well, you know what, that wasn't a policy at all. That was action. And you can learn a lot from someone by their actions. He didn't quit playing golf. He didn't get on the phone to that family of the person that was beheaded and said, hey, you know, we're going to find out what happened and we're going to set things right. He didn't do any of that. I just honestly feel like Trump is the first person that, hey, I'm here fighting for you guys. I mean, show me one politician that's sweating bullets. They're not. They're living the good life. Hey, we're doing whatever the heck we want to do. And we're getting away with it. And sort of like that Distinguished Gentleman movie with Eddie Murphy, where he's that con that becomes like that senator. What just happened there? Oh, it was a bill. How did you vote? I think it was a great bill or an awful bill or whatever. And they didn't know. They just went in there and he just went in there and like a buzzer went off. He goes, oh, that's a bill you're supposed to go in there. Oh, he went in there and I bet you if you looked up some of your congressmen and senators, how many times they've actually been to the House floor to pass a bill when you'd probably be surprised how many of them haven't done it. Now they probably got an app on their phone, so they don't have to be there. They could be on their vacation yacht. Ah, oh, crap. I actually got to pass this bill or no. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a tiger by its toe. If you hold and pay $50. Okay, I guess I'm not going to pass that one. Were you just playing paper, scissors, rock to decide if you're going to pass the bill or not? I mean, that's how people seem. Like, we're fed up with people that we feel don't care. I mean, that's what you liberals need to realize. You actually think Nancy Pelosi cares about you? She's cashing in. I mean, look at Bill Clinton. Oh, they took away his right to practice law. Oh, so what's he doing? Yeah, I'm making $100 million every time I give a one-hour speech. Rough life. I mean, anyone that would pay that much to have him speak, I'd be like, if you're going to come here, you're going to pay us. You kidding me? You're gonna take and downgrade everything. See, you coming here is sort of like taking a 1964 Aquaman figurine in a pristine condition in a box unopened and opening it and playing with it. And then say it's gonna make it more valuable. It's not gonna do it. You know, you coming here is gonna devalue everything. You know, we're probably gonna have to, I mean, who's gonna wanna come out here on the stage knowing that you walked out here? We're going to have to either move the theater or, you know, tear up the flooring or something. They aren't hurting. And you finally have someone that, I'm a billionaire, folks. I have my own private jet. I got 50 homes. But guess what? I'm going to get reamed at every day. I'm going to get chewed out. I'm going to get spit up. I'm going to get thrown out. I'm going to get ridiculed. Yeah, I'll do that. Donald Trump doesn't need money. He can't get any richer. He's into it for us. And that's why a lot of us support him. He's not going to be perfect, but he's someone that is fighting in our corner. Finally, someone that's seem to be doing the right thing. You know, at Arlington National Cemetery that one day, he didn't have to sit there afterwards and talk to the families and kids and grieving people. He didn't have to do that. I heard one person go, "Oh, nice photo op." I'm like, well, at least he did. At least he's doing it. If you think it's fake or not, at least he's doing it. Obama didn't even do it. Obama's like, oh, crap. How long do I have to be here? Oh, there's a big difference. It's nice to have someone that I feel that's doing stuff. The House, and hopefully the Senate will follow soon, but the House has passed Kate's Law. Finally, we're getting some stuff done. Kate's Law has been passed, and it's going to give some protection and give some repercussion to these illegal immigrants that commit crimes and kill. Something's got to be done, folks. Something's got to give. And it's nice to see that things are happening and moving forward. And we're seeing progress. Because I don't know how anyone can stand for that. Of course you have all those people. Well, not everyone's a criminal. Okay. Not everyone illegally here is a criminal. Okay, well then let me so I'm gonna go into a bank. Oh, you're trespassing, that's illegal. No, I thought this was a sanctuary city. I thought I'm supposed to be, if I'm illegal right now, then you have to protect me. You know, there's something about the term illegal that is wrong. Oh, but see, if they're a good person but they're illegal, that's okay. You know, it's only, you know, we can't bash them. No, if you're illegal, you're illegal. I don't understand. A California girl, 12, escapes from kidnappers' car after they told her they would take her into the mountains and kill her. The Whittier Police Department confirmed they're investigating the kidnapping of a 12-year-old girl who was able to escape her abductors Monday morning. According to police, at around 9:30 a.m., the girl who was in front of her home near the 3400 block of Franklin Street, when she was approached by a man who grabbed her from behind and forced her into a 2000 model green four-door Chevy Malibu or similar type sedan. The girl told police another man was inside the vehicle as well. Police say the girl was driven a few blocks away until the suspect stopped and exited the vehicle. At this time, the girl was able to escape from the car and ran to nearby adult for help. That's just, I mean, that was God. I mean, that, hey, to have them say this and she able to escape, I couldn't imagine what she's, I mean, that's hard. I couldn't imagine what she's going through. And it's good news that, you know, that they stopped for some reason. And when they stopped, she was able to just get out and take off. And she went to the nearest adult. And well, this is the time I want to get into a couple things. If you have kids, probably shouldn't hear this, but they used to have all these To Catch a Predator shows, and they had all these people that were, well, why aren't there any women on there? It's all males. And there's been recently like 3 or 4 instances where women have played, like moms have played guilty to having intercourse with like 12 and 13 year old boys. And one girl, one old lady got, she's pregnant now because of it. And it's just, because everyone's like, well, like you watch Lifetime and it's, you always see all these things where the women are being abused by men, but you never see the stories where the man gets abused. I mean, I've been with someone that's bipolar, and that's, I mean, you can't do anything right. It's just a whole cycle of stuff. And it's just one of those things that it's just sad that, you know, that that's even happening. Because there was a Florida woman arrested allegedly raping an 11-year-old boy, resulting in a child. It's just wrong. It is, it's not like a big faction, but there are men that are abused by women. There are women that do go after young kids. And it's something that needs to be talked about. And say, hey, you know, just because you're a woman doesn't mean you're the only one that can get abused. Or whatever the case may be. It's just one of those things that we kind of look the other way a little bit. Well, instead of saying, hey, it's an issue, it needs to be brought up, it needs to be talked about. I mean, I don't stand for any of that. It's wrong on all fronts. But, hey. That just, oh wow. I just keep getting that, like that couple going to Taco Bell and getting married in my head, and I'm like, oh, what were you thinking, you know? See, I thought maybe they'd go to one of those like Vegas hotels where they have like the casino with like the $2 buffet. You want the green or the red? I got about 14 minutes left in the program, folks. I want to thank you all so much for tuning in wherever you are around the world. Wow, what a weekend. I'm telling you, in a week, it's been a crazy weekend. I want to get into some Manchester United transfer news because there's a lot of it and it can be summed up really quickly. No one has a clue because one minute you think you're getting Matic, then you're not. Then you sit there and okay, well, I thought we were getting Matic. Fabinho, I thought we know we might not be getting him, and who knows? That's the bottom line, folks. And I love watching all the stuff about the transfer news and what's going on and this and that. And I, over the years, I think I've come to the conclusion where it's kind of like fun just to kind of listen to see what's going on. But in the end, you really kind of feel like just wait till it's over. And okay, once the season starts and the transfer window is completely done and shut, then you know who you have. But still, it's still kind of fun just to hear and go back and forth and hear all these people talk about different things. Is this going to happen? Is that going to happen? And so, that's kind of how it goes. But it's like you always want to, like, well, we get, I mean, I really didn't believe we would have it. I thought it was just Let's see what kind of crap I can drum up. Yes, I'm Cristiano Ronaldo, and I just really don't want to be at Real Madrid anymore. And I didn't think that was... I gave it about a 5% to 9% chance that he would even be serious about leaving. And from there, then, if he did really leave Real, then, okay, he actually left. Wow. Now there's a... Now there's like, it's like that Dumb and Dumber. What are the odds of a guy like you and a girl like me getting together? Like a million to one. So you're saying there's a chance. You know, I mean, at least you could say there was a chance of actually leaving, but I didn't think he was leaving Real Madrid, so it's kind of like pointless. He didn't go anywhere. He was talking like he was frustrated at Real Madrid and wanted to leave. I mean, I bet you United could have said, okay, $400 million, and he'd probably still say no. But because, I mean, there are people that have said, okay, he's going to sign on the dotted line in 2 days, and 2 days have long gone. He's, you know, so you just wonder, because we need players. We need people. Abramovich is gone. So Zlatan Abramovich is done. He's not at United anymore. But I think he's, I don't think he's going to play anymore. I think he's at the state where, like, yeah, I'm injured. I was injured. I want to heal. And I want to make sure that I can walk for the rest of my life and not get back on the pitch. And, you know, so. Got about 10 minutes left in the program, folks. And it's just one of those things that it's this past weekend was the wonderful Toyota Save Mart 350. And as most of you know, I'm just talking about a lot of this stuff for the first time because I didn't have a Tuesday conversation because I was with my wife. We had our anniversary. She's like, what's part of your life and da da da. And I'm like, well, I wanna spend the night with you. That was a fun night because I had like I got some of this like Jewish like wine, but it's like a blackberry wine, and I had like one glass, and bam, boom, boom, out goes the lights. Trying to ask me a question, and I'm just sitting there like half out of it. But yeah, that's why I didn't do a Tuesday conversation, folks. So. And it was kind of, it was nice just to have like a couple days off because I had the weekend off. It was my usual weekend off from work, my every other weekend off. And then 3 days after, I requested for anniversary, didn't know that they coincided. So, hey, kind of a nice surprise. But at the Sonoma Raceway, Kevin Harvick, of course, won the dang thing. And there's a bunch of people talking about, oh, well, Jimmy Johnson's going to get up to the front. And I'm like, yep, there you go. Jimmy Johnson's going to get all the way back up to the front. He got the 13th. But Dale Jr., I thought, I think he was probably better than a sixth place finish. But, you know, Brad Keselowski had a decent run. He was in third. I'll tell you, though, as much as I love, I'm glad IndyCar doesn't do that. Man, if IndyCar implemented those, like segment racing, I'd be like, it just doesn't do it for me. It's like, I remember old Talladega races where they didn't have a caution. And I was kind of like, okay, well, you know you're going to have a segment. You know you're going to have this, like, I'm like, I liked the old, who knows? You may have 10 cautions, you may have no cautions. Now I feel like you can rely on that segment to, you know, and it's. And I think some of these younger drivers are doing so much better with it because they're not having to try to transition between the segment racing and the non-segment, okay? You know, someone like Jimmy Johnson or Jeff Gordon had done the regular racing for so long that, you know, now they're trying to figure out, well, how do we. I'm so used to this style, and then I'm trying to incorporate in this segment thing. where these younger drivers are like, yeah, segments, I'm not being, I don't really know the other way. All I know is segment racing. So it's, you know, like they always say, it's easier to learn a language if you don't know another one. Because knowing the language hinders you learning another language, because you're always going to want to pronounce this letter like the way it's pronounced in your alphabet. But it's just one of those things that, you know, you still have those people that wonder why Danica Patrick's in NASCAR. She ain't done anything. She rarely gets, you know, she gets a 15th place or better, and it's like winning a race for her. And but then look at Juan Pablo Montoya, how successful he's been in every other segment of racing. And then when he came to NASCAR, he could hardly do anything. I know, that's why they keep her. She's making them money. You know, the reason why you'll pay a football player $100 million, the reason why you play Cristiano Ronaldo $100 million at Manchester United, because he'd probably make $300 million in revenue with ticket sales and shirts and hats and bumper stickers and Ronaldo everything. It's just one of those things, folks. And that's why I love at this past weekend at Road America, Plymouth, Wisconsin, at the Calder Grand Prix. Scott Dixon just dominated that race. I got to see a lot of the highlights. I'm sitting there and I'm just like relaxing and getting stuff done and going to the house. And I'm like, oh, crap, the race is booked. By the time I clicked on the TV, the race was already over. I'm like, well, NASCAR is just about to start. So I put that on and... But I was watching all the highlights and everything and all the extended clips of it. And I'm just not having Sebastian Bourdais out there racing. I'm glad he's alive, you know, but I just wish he was out there on the track. You know. But seeing Scott Dixon win and Joseph Newgarden and Elio Castroneves get on the podium, it was good. It was. it looked like a good time being out there, you know, on that track, and just it was just awesome. It was just all the highlights I saw and everything. Sweet. You know, because I've only been to the Michigan race. That's an IndyCar race. Besides the 500, I've only been to Michigan when they used to race there. And it was always funny because, like, there's no one there when IndyCar came to Michigan. You'd be like, this is normally packed. I sat there and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get there early because, you know, Michigan's always packed for NASCAR. And I got there, I'm like, yeah, okay. It's like no one here. I mean, like, the center grandstands were like half full, and that's about it. It was sad because it was incredible seeing them go around Michigan at 200. Oh, it was like it was incredible. I mean, like, it's just like because they used to do Michigan International Speedway used to do, like, they've done calendars for season ticket holders. I haven't gotten season tickets in a while, but they used to do different things for stuff. And they did like a DVD, A Day at the Races, and it had like clips from all three races. And it had like, you know, like this weekend, it had like clips from all the different ARCA races and everything. And it had the IndyCar race in July. IndyCar came to Michigan. And when you look at the stands, it's like empty. I'm like, but it's sad to look at some of those videos because, like, I used to sit in those seats at one time that don't even exist anymore. You know, and that's a big thing that NASCAR is going to work on, especially because I remember, you know, well, there's, as soon as this race is over at the end of the season in Atlanta Motor Speedway, they're going to be updating this to prepare to, they're going to add about another 1,000 seats to this in preparation for the 1994-95 NASCAR Winston Cup season. And it's like, now it's like, okay, we're gonna take the seats and we're gonna eliminate a seat in every row, and we're gonna give you more space, and we're gonna do all this. I remember being like crammed in right next to each other. It's 95 degrees, you got a little like diehard fan to cool you off, and you're burnt to a crisp. Ice water that you brought frozen is already hot. And it's like, as soon as they revved up those engines, and there's Dick Trickle and Alan Kowicki and Davey Allison and Ernie Irvin, and it's like, all that didn't matter. He was like, yeah, here goes me losing my hearing. But now it's like, okay, they're like trying to change everything all the time. Well, what are we doing wrong? Why are the stands? What's going on? Got about 90 seconds left, folks. I want to thank you all so much for tuning in, but you know, something's got to be done, folks, because ratings, I think, are hurting in NASCAR. IndyCar, I think, is actually getting better. I think a lot of people are like, hey, well, let me go check out IndyCar. And the segment thing, let me see what they've got going on. I just wish the IndyCar races could get the fans like they do with the 500. But then it went to prove my point. Look, you couldn't get near that thing for the 100th running. And then the next year, all those people that had to be there for the 100th, that gone. You know, I would just love to go to another IndyCar race and have the fans there like they are for the 500. But then again, most people that go to that don't follow the racing. They're just there because it's that race. And just remember, folks, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge each other our lives. Until next Tuesday, good night. And from Indiana, God bless. Goodbye.